and Frit. Brad and Frit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune in to Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast. Thanks for joining us here. We're alive in the 1:30 hour Thursday. And each year at this time, Britt and I both come down with the same illness. It's called State of the Union Fever. Oh, we've got it bad. Oh.
And now 30 minutes of what does Joe Biden need to say tonight? Go.
Now, are we going to have the watch party at your house, my house, John the Catholic's house, house?
The drinking game. Every time he says borders, take a shot. I don't know. I don't know. Tomorrow's headlines today: lowest rated State of the Union in the history of ever.
But so many people see it on social media. Don't you know that? What are you thinking? You're right. It's everything is already pre-written.
Yeah.
It's just a question of where to place it, including the Republican ratings. Number of Republicans who watched this was less than 2%. No Republican watched it anyway. What's the difference?
Aren't they watching it? They're watching it so they can see him stutter and drool and fall down.
That's the point. They won't watch it, and don't worry, there'll be a mashup of clips if he even blinks his eyes incorrectly, which of course will be proof that he's just unfit. With that in mind, let us go to a commercial that takes down Donald Trump in a way. No, it doesn't take down Donald Trump. It takes down Joe Biden in a way that I'm not sure he can recover from. This is from a Trump MAGA pack. The ad's called Jugular. That, of course, puts together Joe's greatest hits of stumbles and bumbles. And you will hear what the voiceover guy ominously says. This is only about 20 seconds worth. And it starts with Joe Biden staring into the camera for about 10 seconds, unwilling to answer a question, which of course is being converted into he had a brain aneurysm like Mitch McConnell did a couple of months ago. So he's standing there staring into the camera and finally says something like this.
I guess I should.
We could all see Joe Biden's weakness.
Okay.
We can all see Joe Biden's weakness.
Right. Now, I think that like everything else, Trump, it's a projection about himself.
Right.
If you were betting in Las Vegas and they had the odds up on the board on who is likely to live another 4 years, five years from right now, based on everything we know about the physical health of each guy, and we don't know a lot really about either one. We don't see their blood work. We just get these flowery descriptions from doctors who don't want to go into detail, who make very, very subjective, broad sweeping judgments about them. So it's really left up to us to decide about what we see in terms of the physical health of both of these guys. And Britt, you're a betting man now. You're setting those odds out in Vegas up on those giant boards in the casinos there, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, have all the sports teams you can bet on for all that stuff. And now it says Biden and Trump. Odds that these people will live for another 5 years. I would, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
Well, remember, the House is trying to win money off of you. So Joe Biden's odds are better. So they want you to try to bet on Trump, and he would be plus 200, which means you win $2 for every dollar that you would wager. That's what they're trying to do. So, yes, I would say that the odds are that Joe Biden is much more likely to live longer than Donald Trump based on any number of factors.
Right. Well, just on BMI, right?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden is slim.
Yeah.
Donald Trump's fat.
Yeah.
Joe Biden eats a diet that we know is much more nutritious than Donald Trump.
Correct.
Joe Biden exercises. He has a trainer who probably beats the daylights out of him at 7 in the morning. Back when Trump was in the White House, 7 in the morning, I believe, began what they used to call, remember, executive time? Remember that?
Correct. Yeah.
What wasn't that like 5 hours of watching Fox and Friends and then other crap in the morning?
Okay. Yes.
Fast food intake, prepared food intake, ultra prepared food intake, Trump kills because of his fast food addiction. So, of course, what do? They've created this image, and it's stuck very well, that Joe Biden is the one whose health is teetering on the edge, near death, and Donald Trump is this vibrant, strong, physically abled, manly specimen.
A bull.
Who, absolutely. You just can't touch it. So,
which, I mean, that does kind of make sense because bullshit does come from bulls. So he is somewhat of a bull.
I think he should make that commercial too. He should make that. Of course, if that is an example of where the bar is going to be set, and we're still, 7-8 months out from the election, that vote for me because the other guy is going to die.
Right.
Very, very quickly. And you'll get Kamala Harris as your president.
Yeah.
Just wait till we find out who Donald Trump will anoint to be the president when he keels over.
Do you have a decent feeling as to who Trump's going to choose?
No.
I don't either. No,
what's her name from New York? Stefanik.
Yeah.
She's dreadful. She's horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she seems like a possible pick, although she's only a half. She's only a woman. She's white. Yeah,
right.
So she doesn't have everything that you need. Omarosa, probably not about to make a comeback.
I don't see it. I thought Vivek was going to, but I think Vivek's out.
No,
it feels like Nikki's out. It feels like that was just too. Yeah. I think your leaders in the clubhouse will be Carrie Lake and Tim Scott. I think right now, if you had to pick one.
Please pick Carrie Lake.
Well,
please. By the way, Carrie Lake makes Sarah Palin look like Winston Churchill on steroids.
Agreed. I can't even tell you.
That's how bad she is. As bad as Sarah Palin was, she had and it's a bullshit credential when you look back now in history. She actually was the elected governor of Alaska. At least she did win one governor's election. Carrie Lake's just he can't put a loser up there. I don't like losers.
Well, it's fair to say Tim Scott, he was appointed senator, but he didn't win election in his own right. So he's actually won an election statewide in South Carolina. So there's that.
Yeah. Tim Scott is as blatantly campaigning with every word out of his mouth when he's on TV it may as well just say Trump fetch it, as in step and fetch it.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
It may as well just say that. Oh, you're racist. Just bite me.
Did you read the article? I think it was in the Times about the Bernie Sanders sit down with Joe Biden.
I looked at the headline, did not read the article.
I think this happened last year, and Bernie Sanders goes, "You can't go out there." And it wasn't specifically about State of the Union, but it's just in general. You can't make speeches going, look at how good things are. Look at the low unemployment rate.
Okay, I did catch that.
And then he goes, what you have to do is to go, look, I know you guys think things suck right now. And you're right. And it's because of these fucking asshole Republicans. They're the ones that aren't letting me do this, that. And it was very, I think he's summoning FDR from 36, I think is what he's doing. He goes, look, I understand that people aren't doing as well as they should, but it's because of these assholes right here.
I think you can do a little bit of both. I don't think it has to be one or the other. I don't think you can buy into and acknowledge the completely beyond exaggerated ideas that are moving around Republican and MAGA Trump circles, that it's worse today than it's ever been. It's the worst economy in the history of the country. We're in a depression. Inflation is running out of control. We have no energy. We have no oil. Joe Biden does not care about you one bit. This country is in the dumper like we've never seen it. Only I can see. You can't buy into that and allow people. No, because remember, you're right about FDR being great at repositioning people who opposed him and mocking them and having fun with it. I mean, he's the master, but at the same time, he was Mr. We Can Do It. He was Mr. I've got this idea. They may not let me do all of them, but doggone it, we're going to figure out a way to get it done. And he did, and it lifted the spirits of the country. But we're not in a 1932-33 depression right now.
No.
It may be a Fox News manufactured psychological depression, but I heard a great explanation as to why, even with these good economic numbers, unemployment low, wages rising faster than inflation, the inflation rate is coming down, no prices aren't deflating back to 1994 or even 2018. No, they're not deflating. They're not going up as much as they used to. And we are doing better and have been doing better than every other country in the world. I don't care what the other kids are doing. I don't care, said your mother when you would say, but I'm doing better than the other, right?
So?
There's a difference between things that you buy all the time and things that you occasionally buy. In other words, the price of a television, as you know, has come down so far.
Oh my God.
TVs are so cheap. You can buy a super high quality brand name 65-inch TV now for what, about $1,200? You can get probably a 55-inch TV for $300, right?
Yeah.
Right. And so that's great, except you don't go out and buy a TV every year, or maybe even every 5 years. So the price of those coming down and being low because of the improvement in technology and because of the wonderful world of silicon chips is fantastic. But you buy a Snickers bar maybe once a day, a couple times a week, and you can't stand the fact that it used to be a dollar. Now it's up 25% over when Trump was. Now it's a dollar and a quarter. I hate that. Get out of here, Biden. Same thing with gasoline, which has come down from what it was, but it's still higher than it was a few years ago, but not significantly higher. But that doesn't matter because I have to fill up my tank all the time. So spread that out to almost everything you see in the grocery store, which you have to face at least once a week for most people, sometimes more. And the visceral effect of that kind of inflation, even though if you bought a Snickers bar every day of the year and it was 25 cents more, every day of the year, 365, a quarter of that, it would be about another $60 or $70 a year you're paying for Snickers bars. It wouldn't ruin your life, but you think it will, and you have to blame somebody. So it's things that you buy all the time versus things that you occasionally buy.
Bernie Sanders was all in on Joe Biden going after the wealthy fat cats, big pharma, the corporate overlords, the fat cat CEOs, all that stuff. Of course, that's right out of the Bernie Sanders playbook.
Yeah. But I don't think, problem is, I don't think that you can sell that in a world where the other guy is the biggest fat cat of them all and has hoodwinked and bamboozled MAGA Nation, that people at the top of the pyramid, millionaires and billionaires, especially billionaires, who have been profiteering from his policies while he was president, they cannot put that together with blaming Trump. Hmm. And therefore, I don't think that they can be sold on the fact that a CEO of a pharma company who made $30 million 5 years ago now makes $42 million, that's what's the problem. I don't think it works. That's really old kind of classic populism and class warfare. And I understand it. But I don't think that's what he needs to do. I think you have to just be optimistic and say, look, things were terrible when I came into office because Donald Trump mangled the COVID response, and that contributed to a lot of people getting thrown out of their jobs, maybe you, and now you have a job again. Why is that? Well, it's because of the legislation that I orchestrated and got the two sides together to pass to keep this country afloat. And all the predictions of the big recession, all of the predictions and the lies about worst economy since the 1930s, not only have never come to pass, but now they're in the rearview mirror. And those predictions are in the dustbin of recent history because there's no evidence that this economy isn't chugging along and that the Federal Reserve, as slow as they sometimes are accused of being and maybe being late to the party to do one thing or another, in the main, has been right. And I know it costs more to borrow for a car. I know it costs more to buy a home. I understand that, but that's not forever. And it is getting better, and it will get better. And times have been tough in this country before, way worse than this, and we always figure out a way to get by it. And the answer can't be to go back to just cutting taxes for rich people. I think you have to do it that way. You have to talk about the policies that Trump used to enrich his donors at the very top. The donors that he said he never was going to need. Because in 2015, I'm really rich. I'm not going to owe anybody anything. And from that moment on, that moment that he said that, he was lying. He was already getting big money from big people. I posted an investigative piece from October of 2016, right before the election,
that was done,
that already showed that Trump was lying through his teeth about not taking money. And boy, those were the naive old days. Look what he's doing now.
Yeah.
And by the way, Keith Olbermann's going to have to stop listening to our podcast because he ripped me off.
He ripped me off on the Elon Musk scam.
On the Elon Musk isn't going to give any money to Trump because he said so. We called that out yesterday. Yeah. We called bullshit. We figured that he and Trump would figure out a way to launder the money and get him the money, even if it was against Elon Musk's own interests, because he's like a lot of stupid people. He does things against his own interest, although it seems to have worked out pretty well for him in most cases. But
you did see this story. I don't know if this was Politico or Daily Beast highlighted. I'm not sure that Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House today, got his people together and said, please do not make asses of yourself at the State of the Union. Please do not do what Marjorie did last year. Please try to use some decorum and don't be fucking clowns.
Okay. We talked about this last week. We tried to make predictions on who was going to do what.
Right.
And I don't think that little Mike Johnson begging and imploring the asshole caucus, which is made up of, I don't know, pick a number, is going to be able to restrain themselves.
Of course not.
Because it's all about the theater. It's all about the show. It's all about doing something so that at 10:45, you're on Fox. You're on Fox with who's ever doing post-game crap on that channel. And you're explaining yourself, and they're applauding you for calling out Biden for lying about X, whatever they're going to do. So the fact that he's saying that tells you that, you know, I know, the American people know that they cannot sit there and be normal citizens. They can't do that. Nobody's saying you can't, you know, scream out when there's applause we know that. You can be a little demonstrative, but I don't think they're satisfied with that, Britt.
No.
Again, let's go to Vegas. Let's put some odds.
Come on. Marjorie Taylor Greene is, what self-control has the woman ever had, period? Full stop. Again, she feels like this whole thing is for her anyway.
All right. We have to do it this way. Who's most likely to be on Fox later tonight having done something stupid? Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jim Jordan. He's certainly capable of misbehaving.
Sure.
Like a whack job. Andy Biggs.
Oh yeah.
That guy. He's a nut. There's a whole bunch of them. I'm just naming four. I guess you're an MTG person, aren't you?
Yeah, because she's just such a human wreck. I mean, and she does nothing. I think they kicked her out of every possible committee. I think they let her vote once in a while. So this is, again, her time to shine. This is her one time a year she's going to absolutely show her ass. Because
think of what you just said.
Sorry.
This is her time to shine.
That's what she thinks.
I know. I understand.
It's like if I'm trying to think of a semi-literate Republican who I would think is worth anything. I guess Ken Buck. Ken Buck is a guy I sort of feel sorry for, the guy from Colorado. You see him on TV and he's just exhausted because he works with children. He has to chase three-year-olds around all day long, and he has to make excuses and go, I know, you're right. I hate that they do that. I can't do anything about it. That's why I got to go home. But then you get a guy, they're just, for every Ken Buck, there's 100 idiots. There's a Tim Burchett, or there's an Andy Biggs, or there's a Marjorie Taylor Greene, Stefanik, you mentioned. any of those people.
Hang on. I gotta think. The bat signal is going off. And it says Little Rush wants to talk about the state of the union. Can we go 40,000 miles beneath the state of Florida right now? Little Rush, been a while.
Yes, folks. Good evening and welcome to hell. I am once again roasting your all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-everything, Mahadev Rishi. It is State of the Union time. Should be fantastic, folks. Joe Biden, they'll wake him up about 6:45, pump him full of energy drinks, and drag his ass down to the Capitol, folks. Should be an outstanting thing tonight. A great chance to see Nancy Mace's booty. That's what I'll be looking for tonight on Fox News.
Oh, is she a favorite of yours now?
Yes. Hmm.
What's up with that?
Yeah. So good.
Now, I remember the old days when Barack Obama, I know he has a middle name, would give State of the Union addresses.
Hussein!
And you would, not necessarily in real time, but very close, you would what you call jip them. Mm-hmm. You would talk back to them while they were occurring. And if not State of the Union addresses, if he would speak, luckily while you were on the air between noon and 3 Eastern time, you would talk right over him.
Yes.
And answer him. So I know we don't get to hear you much anymore, but do you watch something like that and just talk out loud and answer him with whomever is in the room with you, or if it's your Nancy Mace blow up doll, do you talk to that? How does that work?
Yes, folks, what I do is I broadcast it on my 65 million megapixel in hell jumbotron, the Satantron, and then I pause it, and then I say obnoxious things, folks. This is how I earned millions upon millions of dollars when I was on Earth, but it couldn't save me from getting rectally violated in hell for all eternity.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Little Rush, we'll check in with you next week and see what you think, see if it moved the needle at all for you. Well, I shouldn't use the phrase move the needle around you, because that just brings up visions of your past drug use, and I know you don't want to do that.
It is bad, folks, and I love the Blue Boys. Take them by the fistful.
The Blue Boys. All right, Little Rush, straight from down there on the Brad and Britcast. Here's some of the other things on my list here, Brit.
All right.
North Carolina's rogues gallery of Republican assholes just keeps on getting bigger.
I like that one.
Wacko Jacko Smackoed by Navy. I'm moving. This time I mean it. And what do you think Trump's FICO score really is these days?
That was a funny piece. I was looking at what you put up there. Do North Carolina's rogues gallery of assholes continues to grow by leaps and bounds.
Yeah. And I'm worried. I'm concerned. I'm almost sure that North Carolina is determined, unless the citizens stop it, of this state joining the big three of Florida, Texas, and Arizona as the biggest idiot states out there controlled by Republicans. We're this close, and we do have this rogues gallery of really, really bad, horrible people that are running for office. And it starts, of course, with Mark Robinson for governor, and all stories about this lead with him. But if you've forgotten the story of this creep, Mark Harris, let me remind you of what it is all about. Mark Harris is a pastor, and he decided, and by, I think it's from Winston-Salem, I think. He was a pastor there.
Okay.
And he was the former president of the North Carolina Baptist Convention. And about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. He was involved in something that we call voter fraud. Okay.
That's what we call it.
That's what we call it.
Okay.
This is in 2018. It looked like he had won the actual election. He was against a guy named Dan McCready. This is the 9th congressional district down by Charlotte. But the State Board of Elections in North Carolina would not certify the results because it didn't smell right. Claims of irregularities and fraudulent activities related to absentee by mail voting. Well, how did that happen? Well, he hired a guy whose job it was, whose business it was, whose livelihood it was to work the edges on behalf of your campaign. And he'd been accused of voter fraud in the past. So who better to hire than him for your campaign? This guy, whose name was Leslie McDowell, is now dead. He died in 22. So Mark Harris gets accused via this guy that he hired of all the kind of things associated with absentee ballot voter fraud that Donald Trump has been alleging has been going on with Democratic candidates, and that's been part of his shtick about coming out against absentee voting because there's so much fraud with it. Well, this guy specialized in it, and of course it was on behalf of this Republican candidate near Charlotte, Mark Harris. They would do ballot harvesting. They'll collect your ballot for you. They'll fill it in for you.
Right.
They'll create new ballots. Whatever you need, we're a full-service fraud outfit. It turns out that Mark Harris's son, who was a lawyer and I think was even a judge at the time, told his dad, stay away from this guy. He's bad news. Well, dad, father knows best, as you know, Robert Young. And father went ahead and hired this guy. They got caught, and the election was considered null and void, and they did it over again. And Mark Harris claimed, oh, they're coming for me. They're coming for me, mama. And he decided he couldn't run again, like Red Fox on Sanford. And what did he used to say?
I'm coming to join you, Elizabeth.
That's it. That's it. So he's laid low for a couple years, but in the world of Republican politics, as you know, there's nothing you can do. There is no sin. There is no crime. There is no bout of unethical behavior that cannot be forgiven, forgotten, and swept away. So Mark Harris was running again in the district next door. I guess there's been gerrymandering. It's not the same district anymore, but it doesn't matter. It's a gerrymandered Republican district, and he won the primary. That's right. He is, in effect, going to be the next congressman from the 8th district of North Carolina. There isn't even going to be a Democratic opponent. They gerrymandered it so bad. The Democrats aren't even going to put up anybody. So this guy, in effect, is now in the Congress after having just 6 years ago been drummed out of polite society for cheating on an election. Why charges weren't pressed directly against him, why he didn't go to jail, I don't know. Weird things happen in our justice system, don't they? Republicans are really good at getting away with shit, especially when it comes to voter fraud, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
But add him to the list, along with Mark Robinson, of what the fuck is going on in this state? Are we Alabama? Are we Arizona? Are we Florida? Are we what are we? What is this state?
I don't know.
That a person like this is going to be in the Congress. And if you think that someone tonight is going to act like a jerk. Well, just wait till next year if this guy's sitting out there for the State of the Union and Joe Biden is reelected and giving another one of these kind of speeches this time of year.
The case that Brad was just talking about is considered like the biggest case of voter fraud in modern North Carolina history.
Modern American history.
It's very, very not good. And of course, it was courtesy of the Republican Party. Republican Party.
Well, Britt, that just makes it that much more important that we make sure that our elections are fair and safe and have integrity, right?
Because the problem in that election was exactly what these people have done. It was people weren't showing ID. That wasn't the problem. It was people who were 17 years old registering to vote before their next birthday. That wasn't the problem. These are all the things that they've done supposedly to give us more faith in our elections that had nothing to do with the kind of fraud that these people wrought.
Well, but now it's all about the projection. Because around the country, even less egregious cases of actual voter fraud, 9 out of 10 times, it is a Republican. And it very often has to do with registration, figuring out ways to deny people who legitimately should be able to be registered to vote to not be able to vote. So are we going back to the 1950s? We're going back to the 1850s. Are we going back to pre-civil rights era? You betcha. You betcha. Unless we do the right thing in November and just put a stop to these people and send them off to go do something else with their lives instead of mess ours up. So, all right.
You got to knock this shit back, as James Carville once said.
Yeah. Mark Harris. How about, I'm moving. And this time, I mean it.
Okay.
As you know, every 4 years, particularly liberals and Democrats say, if blank, fill in name of asshole Republican on ballot, wins, I'm moving out of the country. And most people, they don't do that. They tend to stay here. But the numbers that they're spitting out this time on this issue seem to be a little bit more stark. Among those, particularly younger people under the age of 30, 24% wanted to leave America at the end of George W. Bush's presidency, 18% during Obama's, and 30% during Trump's. Now, of course, they didn't do that. We didn't lose that high of a percentage, but that was about the attitude. Only 20% of young men wanted to flee America, 40% of young women, so you get 30% there on average. But the thought is that if there's a second Trump presidency, that this time it's for real. This time it's serious. Now, as you know, Britt, one member of my family, our daughter Stephanie, fled the country in July. Okay.
Yes.
She no longer lives here. She did not give up her American citizenship. She lives in Amsterdam.
So thanks a lot, Biden. Way to go,
Biden. Netherlands. Right. Go, so Biden. She didn't go to a Caribbean island or something like that. She went somewhere where she could make a legitimate, decent living. And she does over there. I will tell you this. And there are so many things. Now I know this stuff because watched it happen with, someone in my family. When you move to another country, there are so many little things that you have to do, little changes that aren't so little. And if you don't particularly speak the native language, it can be a little bit more daunting. Now, where she is in Amsterdam in the Netherlands, just about everybody does speak English.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of business is conducted in Dutch. And you do find that when you're around a bunch of Dutch people, they speak English to you, and then they turn to their cohort and speak in Dutch. You don't know what they're saying about you. And it's not that bad, but you get the idea.
Yeah, it's not unusual. That does happen in some countries. But, yeah.
We are in the middle, and I think we've been able to solve this. When you work in another country, a well-developed country like the Netherlands, you have an issue, and it's something that I like to call taxes, okay? Mm-hmm. You still have to file an American tax return, and you still have to show how much money you made over there. Right. And you do have some tax exposure still here on the money you made over there. And it varies. And we all use a family accountant in our family. So I said, Stephanie, send all the papers over here, and we'll have Fingers Johnson. That's our, I talk about Fingers every year. He's great.
He's the best.
We got to give Fingers all the papers. So she sends them over, and she sends them, and they're written in Dutch. Okay. And here's something else I learned. Google Translate is fantastic. Okay. you just copy and put it in, and boom, there comes out in English. And Fingers said, yeah, we've got this covered, and that's great, but it's a pain in the ass. Yeah. It's a pain in the ass. I don't know how much it's going to cost, but if you leave the country, you don't really leave the country unless you really leave the country. And I would not recommend anybody giving up their American citizenship, because first of all, you give up your American passport. You better damn well have a better one than that. And, you know, European passports, EU passports are pretty good. Mm-hmm. You might want to have them and your American citizenship and passports. It's kind of a good thing. But here's the point. The point is, this time around, I really can see a lot of people, upon Trump being elected, saying, that's it. I'm out of here. I can afford to leave this country now, particularly if I'm retired and I have no reason to actually stay here, and I can afford to fly to see my family. I don't see them anyway. They never call. I will bet you, if God forbid Trump gets elected, that you are going to have tens of thousands of people probably moving fairly quickly to get out from underneath what could be a dictatorship, a self-proclaimed dictatorship by the guy who is running. We never thought it would happen. Said to Jane, my wife, I said, you know, I'm kind of glad that your parents aren't alive, not because I don't want your parents to be alive, but I'm glad they're not alive to see what they escaped Europe from in the 1940s start to happen truly in the United States.
Right.
An anti-Semitic dictatorship that's unspeakable and is ready to take action against minorities and anybody who is considered to be the other. I'm glad they're not here to see that. She agrees.
Yeah.
I'm glad my parents aren't here for the same reason. They didn't escape Europe, but same reason. I mean, it's a frightening prospect, and you're right. We just got to hitch up our belts and buckle up and get this sucker done, right?
That's what we got to do.
We got to do.
Yeah. Big fat Ed. Got to get her done. Let's get after it.
Got to get it done. Got to get it done. What do you think Trump's FICO score is these days?
I think you're right on this. It's going to be in the threes. I think it's got to be around 350, 370, somewhere in there. Got to be. I mean, I don't think it was good anyway, but I think especially now, it's just shit city.
Right. Well, when you look at the five main criteria that they use for developing your FICO score, it's your credit history, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how you're paying your bills, and you know, if you miss paying your mortgage or your car payment even one time, you know, you get a little bit dinged, right?
You do. And it's much of the total credit that's available to you that you're using. That's a big part of it.
Right. how much new credit you're trying to take. So he's looking, and apparently, allegedly, there are banks that will still talk to him. I don't know how, but there are still banks that will do business with him. The length of your credit history, the credit mix. But this one guy did all the crunching of the information that's publicly available. And, you know, if you have a lot of liquid assets, you probably don't care what your credit score is, right? You don't care. You're not borrowing money to buy a car. You just go buy the car.
That's correct.
And the problem with Trump is he doesn't have very many liquid assets, because that's cash and bank accounts and money market funds and treasury bills and certificates of deposit, all that kind of really boring stuff. But he's got plenty of illiquid assets, like real estate.
Correct.
Right? Like real estate, or like real estate, which is the hardest thing to unload of, to unload quickly if you need cash fast, right?
It's a blessing and a curse, because obviously real estate is something that generally appreciates depending on location, location, location. But again, if people know that you need to unload it and people are quite aware that he needs cash, then they can wait you out. They don't need to make a great deal on it.
Britt, you watch the financial shows or read enough like I do. What is the one sector of the economy right now in real estate that has been in the dumper while home prices have gone basically through the roof? And I'll answer it. The answer is commercial office real estate. Right. What does Donald Trump own?
All a bunch of that shit. That's why every company in the world is begging, pleading, threatening to get people to go back to work at the office so that it doesn't just die. You know, they've got a lot invested in this.
That's not going to change overnight. It may never change. And the value of these properties, particularly ones that Trump talks about as the crown jewel, 40 Wall Street, this other shit. You got a building in San Francisco and hotels. Really? Yeah. They're buying up hotels. The answer is he's got it all tied up in stuff. If in fact he even has money in these properties, they may just have his name pasted on the outside of it, and they pay him a royalty every year. Then he walks around and acts as if he owns the building.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And we don't know. But that sounds to me like it all adds up to when you have a big judgment against you like he does, and you can't come up with the cash, then you are exposed as the not as rich guy as you purported to be in front of the whole world to see. Because if Trump was as he advertised himself, he would be thrilled. He would be happy to show everyone just how a $500 million, that's about the total of what he's got against him right now. A $500 million judgment against him is like you or me paying a parking ticket. Next. Right. No problem. He would love to be able to do that, but he can't, can he?
Mm-mm.
He can't.
What is the Wacko Jacko story? I'm curious.
Oh, boy. This is kind of new. Ronnie Jackson, your favorite congressman,
love this guy,
from Texas, who was an admiral, a rear admiral in the Navy while he was a doctor at the same time, treating Obama, then Trump, and then getting run out for all kinds of wonderful reasons. He has been demoted by the Navy.
Oh,
and they demoted him. I did not know this. Did you know this? He was demoted in July of 22.
No.
After the inspector general's report at the Pentagon that sustained allegations about his inappropriate behavior as a White House physician. Here, you get Adderall, you get Adderall, you get Adderall, you get Provigil, you all get Provigil. It's all yours. So he's been demoted to Navy captain instead of rear admiral. That you know, I don't know that much about rankings in the military, but I know that captain is below admiral. That I know. But in terms of your social standing, in terms of having your rank stripped, it probably even affects his pension. Who knows?
I hope so.
But in the world of Trump, nothing matters. So for the last few years, since he's been demoted, he still calls himself a retired rear admiral. It just doesn't matter. They just will not react to the facts that are around them. My goodness. Yeah, I'm right here. He gets $15,000 less in annual pension payments. And that'll get worse as time goes on. But what a sleazebag, huh?
Oh, big time.
What a sleazebag.